compressed. So there's kind of a logistics issue every month getting everybody here. So apologize for the late start, but we've got a quorum, so we can begin. I'd like to welcome everybody to the Kern County Animal Services Commission meeting. Glad to see a pretty good group tonight, actually, compared to most months. Couple things, it'd be a good idea to turn off any cell phones or electronic devices or put them on mute before we start. And if you need to talk, please take it out in the hallway. First item is roll call.
Commissioner Geary.
She's excused in Texas.
Commissioner Blackburn.
Here.
Commissioner Taggart.
Here.
Commissioner Christopher.
Here.
And Supervisor Couch.
He's excused. Okay, thank you. First item is the January meeting, approval of the summary proceedings. That was well done. Okay. So I need someone to...
I'll make the motion to approve.
Okay.
And I will second it.
Okay, all in favor? Okay, thank you very much. Next item is the consent agenda. And we have three emails, and I'm told that all correspondence has been responded to or otherwise resolved at this time. Anybody want to pull either of the committee's emails, or if not, then I need a motion to receive the file.
I will make a motion to receive the file. I will second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Thank you very much. Public presentations. And before I start, I wanted to mention, I received an email from Director Cullen today regarding our last remaining commissioner that we've been waiting on for several months. So the new commissioner is Ms. Claudia Lopez, who I'm told is an attorney. She'll be representing District 5 probably the next monthly meeting. So we're going to welcome her and glad to have a full staff. And then Debbie should be back by next month. So that was the email I got today, and I'm glad to get it. So thanks, Director Cullen, for doing that. Public presentations. This portion of the meeting is reserved for persons to address the commission on any matter not on this agenda, but under the jurisdiction of the commission. Commissioners may respond briefly to statements made or questions posed. They may ask a question for clarification, make a referral to staff for factual information, request staff to report back to the commission at a later meeting. Also, the commission may act to direct the staff to place a matter of business on a future agenda. Please state your name and address for the record before making your presentation. Speakers are limited to 2 minutes, and we just need your name and your zip code to be good. So anyone on the first row would like to speak for 2 minutes? Nobody? Okay. Second table, Joan, you got something to say? No? Michelle?
No.
Danny? Nobody? Okay. Seeing none, I want to move to the next table. Table three, anybody wants to speak about? Okay. I see some new faces. Are you guys from BC or you are? Okay, what class is it that you're taking?
Government.
What is it called?
Government.
Oh, government. Okay. So, are you all in the same class? I mean, we've had people from political science classes and other types of class at BC. We're glad that you had your choice of a lot of different meetings you could go to, right? Probably a list of maybe 10 or 15, but you chose this one. So we're glad that you're here. So anyway, welcome. Okay, so we're done public presentations. We'll bring it back to the head table. Staff announcements or reports. Our director Coleman has a lot to go over.
Good evening, everybody. Nick Coleman, director of Kern County Animal Services. Probably don't need this. Just touch on a few points in the director's report, and then I can answer any questions about the director's report. We were pretty busy in February, and I'll kind of point that out with some of the statistics. Specifically, when I said we're pretty busy, if you look at the vaccination clinics, in February, we issued 257 rabies vaccinations at our clinics. over 330 carbo-distemper vaccines, and 43 microchips, and 30 Elan vaccinations, too. If you come to these meetings, that's about twice the vaccinations and microchips we usually do. So we did our Tuesday evening clinics in February, and then we did our Saturday clinic as well. They're pretty well attended. We did some canvassing in advance. Our officers were out doing some canvassing. Plus, I think there's some other canvassers out there that are raising awareness about resources that are available in our community. So all of that is pushing people to the clinics to get their pets licensed and vaccinated and microchipped, which is a good thing. Our spay-neuter program continues to go strong. We had a spay-neuter clinic February 7th, February 15th, February 28th, and then February 12th. And then we also had World Spay Day, which was on Tuesday, February 27th, which was the last Tuesday of the month in February. What is World Spay Day, you might ask? World Spay Day is a sort of a nationwide commitment from animal welfare and animal control organizations where they commit to providing all the resources they can to provide spay and neuter to our community, because there's so many animals that are being produced, and then you have shelters, unfortunately not making an animal alive. And so the way we participated is we had three different veterinarians that had three different teams of support, and they fixed 114 animals in one day. That was Tuesday, February 27th. We had the SNP bus on site, and we had our very own Dr. Kimberly King, and then we had Dr. Ginger White, who came in from Santa Barbara. And between the three of them, they completed 114 spay and neuter surgeries in about 5 hours. I just can't say enough about the folks that were there. You can do some Googling and figure out how many offspring one dog or one cat can be responsible for in 7 years, and then multiply that times 114, and you'll start to figure out how many offspring were prevented just by that one day. The next sheet I want to touch on, and I don't usually spend much time explaining this, but I want to. So this is the breakdown of the spay. It's a spay neuter. What this is the County of Kern, about 12 years ago, they decided to start committing tax dollars to a low-income spay neuter program so that folks who are qualified as low-income can have access to get their pet fixed. And since that time, well over 2 million animals have been spayed or neutered by the county. But this is an accounting of the funding that we received this fiscal year. So this fiscal year begins July 1st and it ends June 30th. And so we're more than halfway through the fiscal year, closer to 3/4 of the way through the fiscal year. And we're appropriated $500,000 for spay and neuter. So that's your tax dollars that our county government has decided it's important enough to appropriate $500,000 to operate this program. We've expended to date $340,000, and that $340,000 has netted us just over 3,600 spay and neuter surgeries. I did the math, and it breaks down. You know, we use the SNP bus a lot. SNP bus is a nonprofit that provides mobile spay and neuter for communities. And you'll see, as it's broken down here, that they have accounted for almost 1,300 spay and neuter surgeries as a result of the county funding. And the cost actually breaks down to around $125 per surgery for those 3,618 surgeries. And that's dogs, cats, female, male, all sizes and sexes and breeds combined. But in actuality, that's pretty reasonable for 3,600 spay and neuter surgeries to be on average $125. You can go to some veterinarians right now in Kern County and end up spending $900 to get your dog spayed. So I think it's actually a pretty efficient use of the resources that they give us. Like I said, we've fixed over 3,600 animals. We still have $160,000 or so in spay and neuter funding left, which should get us to the end of the fiscal year. The next sheet just kind of breaks down how that funding is were being used on male, female dogs versus cats, and the sizes of those animals. It'll give you some sense of, you know, which animals in our community are getting those resources in the end. And then the last sheet that's on there is the zip code of the pet owners, so that'll give you some idea of where the majority of the spay neuter funding is going. And it's the majority of it is going into our targeted areas, which is 9330, 9330, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I think they account for almost 70% of all of the spay neuter funding. The next page just goes over year to date. We're lagging in adoptions, which is really unfortunate because while we're lagging in adoptions, we are setting some unprecedented marks in intake. Intake is incoming animals. So in an animal shelter, the more animals that come to you, the more resources it takes to care for them, and the more effort it takes to find them live outcomes so that we're not euthanizing them. But one of the things that we do to try to get animals out alive is we do adoptions throughout the county, all over the place. There's some that we highlighted here. Capital Dental Group is a great adoption partner. They just finished the sponsorship where they paid for 50 adoptions Thursday and Friday, or Friday and Saturday. We had our pet appreciation night where we had some animals out for adoption. That was at the Bakersfield Condors game right next door. And I don't think we adopted anything at the Condors game, but we brought a couple of dogs. And I thought it was pretty neat. The next page will show you that that's our mascot. His name is Officer Shepherd Barker. I think it's one. And he took a picture with the Condors mascot. I'm not sure what the Condors mascot name is. Cloud9 Coffee Shop, we're there pretty often. We were at Second Saturday with some adoptable pets. There's a thrift shop called In Your Wildest Dreams. They host us quite often. And we're always at PetSmart, Petco. In fact, if you adopt a cat from PetSmart or Petco, there's a pretty good chance that cat came from us. Because we bring our adoptable cats to those stores. So when you adopt an animal from them, adopt a cat from those stores, it's a pretty good chance it's from the county shelter. Raising Canes is a really good adoption partner. We've done a couple of adoption events with them. The next page says World Spay Day. That just shows some group pictures of our staff and our team fixing those animals. The lady sticking out her tongue, that's Dr. King, that's our Chief of Veterinary Services at the County Animal Shelter. Our Streets of Bakersfield program, just to touch on that a bit, if you become aware of the problem, the crisis really, in our animal shelters right now, there's a lot of dogs, and sometimes the best thing for them is to get out of the shelter, even if it's for the day, just the day. And so we have a program that's called Streets of Bakersfield. And you fill out a quick application. You can do it online. It's on our website, kerncountyanimalservices.org. Come down to the shelter. We do it twice a month. It's on a Saturday. Pick up a dog. It's a nice dog. We've chosen a nice dog. Not going to maul anybody. And you pick it up between 8 and 11. And then you bring it back 3 p.m. after between 3 and 4. And then when you come back, you fill out a report card. You tell us all the things that you did with the dog. And that report card helps because when there's an adoption interest in that animal, the person that's considering adopting it can read your report card and kind of determine how they're going to do it at home. But more than that, we encourage the people who take the dogs out to take them out to go get a puppuccino, or take them to self-serve pet spa, take them to Riverwalk. I don't go to Riverwalk Park, but most of all, to post them on your social media pages. And that seems to produce a lot of marketing for some of these animals that we probably couldn't do ourselves. So Streets of Bakersfield program is a super important program. If you've ever thought of helping out the shelter, you're not sure how to do it, maybe you can't take a dog in your home, Streets of Bakersfield, just taking a dog for one day. And we provide a leash, a collar, and everything you need. And the next page, I just wanted to show you, those are some of the dogs that left on our Streets of Bakersfield program. That dog in the upper right-hand corner that's hugging that little kid. It just shows you, like, that dog, it's in the kennel all day. Maybe it gets out for an hour a day. And to be in the backseat of these folks' car and just nuzzling with the little girls, it's good for the animals, it's good for our community. Those of you who aren't aware, we don't just operate animal shelters. We have animal control officers who enforce the laws in the county of Kern. They're rabies control officers, is their official title. And they have responded to over 1,470 calls. Their calls range from aggressive dogs to injured animals, quarantines for bites that occur in the county. They do issue citations and tickets for licensing and vaccination and cruelty at times animal cruelty. We also have a commercial animal facility permit program that if you buy, sell, board, or breed dogs, you need a permit to do it. On the next page, we'll talk about what our permitting person was able to accomplish in February. And then the statistics page I wanted to touch on a bit just to show you kind of what we're dealing with right now. So there's four separate statistics pages. The first one is January 1st of 2023 through February 28th of 2023. And then the next one is that same time period this year. I just wanted to point out that if you look at it, last year was concerning for the amount of dogs that were coming into our shelters. And we took in 1,468 dogs in the first 2 months of the year last year, and it was concerning. This year, we've taken in 1,642. So 250 or so more dogs this year come into the shelter than last year, and last year was concerning. Just give you some sense of how many animals are coming into shelters right now. It's disturbing, it's alarming. And I know we're not the only shelter dealing with it. The city of Bakersfield is dealing with it. Every other municipality that operates an animal shelter in Kern County and really throughout the state is dealing with a similar but relative issue of more animals coming in than they're having the capacity to deal with. So, and last but not least, our volunteer program. In fact, we have a very robust volunteer program. Volunteers help us with everything from answering phones to greeting patrons to cleaning animals to walking animals. We have some super dedicated volunteers who just come in and advocate for animals. So they take pictures, and they do video content, and they produce social media marketing videos, and just increase the marketing of those animals. So there's a host of different tasks that you can always volunteer to help at the animal shelter to do. The folks sitting up here are volunteers, actually. But in February alone, our volunteers donated 571 hours of service. We had 32 new volunteers enter the program. We currently have 106 active volunteers. If you'd like to volunteer for Kern County Animal Shelter, you fill out an application online, kerncountyanimalservices.org. And I can answer any questions about the report.
Okay, before I put them to the group, I'd like to the commissioners ask any questions they might have first. Gina?
Is the volunteer program, does that include our animals? Or just the people who spend the time at the shelter?
Only the hours that are reported to us.
On the cat's outcome, because as you may or may not know, I do cats. My goal is to spay and neuter everything I can get my hands on that is furry. And I noticed 93561 zip code, which happens to be attached to where I live, there was 116 neuters and 112 spays for 228 total. And 84 of those were mine that I have done over the last 2 months. So I just point that out. 25. Anyway, you guys are doing great work.
That's always right.
Yes. Yes. I'm impressed with the way you guys are managing. I know it's a tough situation, but you're getting through it well and you're spending the money wisely. And I'm impressed with the voucher system, being able to reach out to people who are low income, and something that I struggle with a lot in trying to get cats. So, good job.
Sure.
Just
to add to that, I give you guys kudos for doing what you're doing with so many coming in. And you're going to pass me out.
I was reading this earlier today, and it seemed like there was 10,000 cats that were fixed since we did the TNR program?
20,000.
20,000, like I said, 20,000. which is amazing. You figure what would have happened to those cats had they not been fixed, what 20,000 cats would multiply to. It staggers the mind, you know, so it's, I'm glad that they took action when they did. And also, by the way, when we first started the program, it was $250,000 each year, and then it got bumped up. It was 200,000, then it went to 225, I think. Now it's $500,000. When did it go to $500,000?
This year,
right? Because there's some new faces here. I wanted you guys to kind of know a little bit about the evolution. So we're at 200,000 for a number of years. Now we're at $500,000. And you might not think, you know, we're getting anywhere, but we are. It's all making a difference. You know, if you fix 20,000 cats, you know, what could they have amounted to over the next 5 years? Well, I don't know. It's hundreds of thousands, probably. So anyway, good job on everything across the board. Is there a volunteer coordinator officially?
That title does not exist, but we have a person that manages our volunteer program. Yes.
Okay, that's all I've got. I'm going to open it up to the group. Anybody from table one that has a question? Table two? Oh, wait a second. Go ahead, Cal, Pauline.
Just to kind of go back to the 500K. That's, I'm sorry, can you repeat what that money is for again?
So that is money that's appropriated out of the County General Fund specifically to operate a low-income spay-neuter program. So that is a targeted spay-neuter program so that folks who qualify as low-income can get their pets fixed.
And we also table one. Okay, I'm going to move to table two, Joan.
Since we have lots of people here that I'm guessing on social media, could you just tell them how to find out about the vaccine clinics and the spay-neuter program so they can kind of spread the word?
Sure.
Thank you.
We have a lot of resources that are available to keep your pet healthy, to make sure your pet doesn't produce unwanted litters. Make sure you follow us on social media, so facebook.com/KernCountyAnimalServices. We're on Instagram, we're on TikTok, so ask me animals. That guy in a blue shirt over there won. we have TikTok, we have Instagram, we're on YouTube, we're on Twitter. I think that's all of them. And we're always putting up content about spay-neuter, about vaccination resources for your animals. You can go to our Facebook page, which is probably the most used platform to market our programs and our resources. You go to our Facebook page, Kern County Animal Services. There's an events link, an events page on Facebook. Click on the events, and it'll show you all the upcoming spay-neuter dates and vaccination clinic dates as well. We do at least 3 vaccination clinics per month, and that's to vaccinate your pet against rabies, parvo, and distemper.
It's pretty cheap, isn't it?
It's at cost. I think we charge, right now the parvo distemper vaccines are free. So to get your pet vaccinated against parvo distemper, which will most likely be devastating for your pet if it is to get parvo distemper, it'll protect your pet from parvo distemper, and it's free.
Does that include city residents too?
It doesn't matter if you're city or county. Thank you, Ms. Christine. It doesn't matter if you're city or county. Anybody with a dog can come to our clinics and get your pet vaccinated against parvo distemper. The rabies vaccination is a charge. That's $10. You can also get a microchip.
It's a deal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it really is.
$10 is cheap. I think it's $25 pretty much anywhere. I think it's $30 at Critters.
It's at Critters. More than that at PCA.
But also, a lot of that information can be found on our website, too, KernCountyAnimalServices.org. Yep.
Okay, good. Thank you. Anybody else from table two? All right, we'll go back to table three. Anything? Okay, go ahead.
For your determination process, what need you guys to determine for what animals get assigned to your shelters?
It's not an easy process. We're usually looking at sick, injured, aggressive animals that are unsuited for a home or are immediately suffering, first and foremost. And then from there, we're going to you know, the animals that have been there the longest. So if you're ever at an animal shelter, you want to know which animals are at risk, ask which animals have been there the longest. Larger dogs are more at risk because they take up more space. Smaller dogs, I can fit 6 or 8 or 10 into a kennel. Larger dogs, I can't. So again, there is no matrix that we use to make that decision. Usually, it's a lot based on whether you have interest in that animal, somebody's interested, whether it is injured or aggressive or has behavioral issues, or if it's been there for a very long time, you know, because when I say space is an issue, that's understating the issue. There is no space. And so for us to keep an animal for an extra day means that another animal somewhere has to go. And so, you know, that's a complicated answer to that question. There is no easy way to make those decisions. We try to give animals a fair shot as long as we can. And we just hope and pray that when we market these animals, that the long-stay animals are the animals that we're marketing, because those are the ones that are at risk. So usually if you're on our social media page and you see us, either us or a volunteer that's advocating for an animal, they're advocating for that animal because it's been there for a month or 6 weeks or 2 months for that matter. And the longer it's there, the more at risk it is. Not only is it at risk of running out of time and space, but it's at risk for mental breakdowns and physical breakdowns, catching an illness or disease. So it's that time thing that we got.
Yeah. Great question, by the way. Thank you. Anybody else? Yes, sir.
You guys mentioned something about CAF permits or something. What is that?
It's called a commercial animal facility permit. So in the county of Kern, if you buy, board, breed, or sell dogs, you need a permit to do it.
Is that like just on a large scale, or is it every like anyone?
If you buy
or
breed, it depends. Breeding, there's a certain amount you're allowed to breed your dog before you get a permit to do it. But buying or selling, there is no minimum. As soon as you intend to sell one or buy one, you need a permit to do it.
Okay, good. Any other questions? Third row. Okay, seeing none, we'll come back to the head table. Thank you, Director Cullen. At this time, I'd like to have someone make a motion to receive and file the report.
I'll make a motion to receive and file, and I will second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Thank you very much. Item 7, commissioners' announcements or reports. Basically what it is for the group, if you don't have a program on their own initiative, commissioners may make an announcement or a report on their own activities. They may ask a question for clarification, make a referral to staff, or take action. Have staff place a matter of business on a future agenda. Typically, it's like current events, like what did we do last month, is kind of mostly what it pertains to, but that it can also encompass what I just said. So, Commissioner Gina,
yeah.
I know you've got some experiences.
Yes, I do. Can everybody hear me okay, or do you need to mic up? It's pretty loud. So I've been busy. I'm supposed to be retired, and it just doesn't seem to be working out that way. I put on Facebook, Monday that I had a little extra space available for my Selma trip. I have a vet up in Selma that does low-cost, high-volume spay and neuter, kind of like critters. She takes me in, allows me to bring 20, 30, I think 45 cats, and get them done all one day and come home. So I only had 10 going, and I put a little thing on Facebook, and you would not believe the response in one day. I had to shut it off yesterday. I had to delete the post because there were so many people engaging and messaging me. I'm able to get pretty much everybody in that had asked at the time. If they're not in this time, I have an appointment in April, and I will work them in there. It's just amazing, the need. Still waiting for SNP Bus to come up to Tatchby, but in the meantime, I'm doing everything I can, as I said before, to spay and neuter everything I can get my hands on. So I have done at Critters just in February, and I don't know. Anyway, since the first of the year, I've done 84 cats at Critters, taking them in. I'm so blessed to have the appointment that they give me 8, 10, 12, 16 cats at a time. It really makes it easy since I'm driving. And then I've done, including tomorrow, I will have fixed about 55 cats up in my Selma location. So that's about 150 so far this year. 50 cats a month, that's not bad. A little old retired lady that just, you know, sits around and crochets all day and watches soap operas and things like that. My goal, I had stopped doing adoption events, but I would love to help you guys out if you guys want to have some adoption events in Tatchby at Canine Creek or anywhere else. I'd be happy to be on board with that. And, you know, I'm pretty good at it, so thank you.
Okay, thank you, Commissioner. She comes all the way from Tehachapi, so there's a, I want to thank her for her dedication also, driving here, everyone. It's a long way for sometimes a very short meeting, like tonight maybe. Commissioner Taggart, as I said, she drives all the way from Ridgecrest, and she's got some things she'd like to go over.
So, had this past month, we got to do career day with high schoolers over in Toronto, which was pretty cool. You know, with the shortage of veterinary employees, it's kind of great to get out there and get these kids excited about, you know, getting into the industry and kind of explaining to them how we do it and what we do. Took my little mongrel with me, and he kind of stole the show, but yeah, that was pretty cool. And then part of my reason I was late today is we're doing rattlesnake aversion classes today and tomorrow at my work, so that one's kind of cool, you know, especially with the season right now changing to the point we're going to have rattlesnakes out pretty quick here. It's kind of cool because we have a guy who comes and does it with us, and he, you know, they put out live snakes. And so the snakes actually have like a plastic cap over their head so that they can't bite, but it gives the dogs where they know the smell, the sight, the sound and all that. And they put out like a bag of skins. And so that way they get the smell from that as well. But yeah, it's a pretty neat process to work, to watch. And it's kind of cool to get to, you know, participate in and help with dogs and that. So other than that, I think that's about it.
And your job is what? Tell
them. So I'm a registered veterinary technician. I've been working at my place of business for 15 years now. I started out as a kennel assistant. I worked my way up to a certified vet assistant, and then ended up getting my veterinary technician license. So.
Excellent. Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Okay, that's all we have on commissioner's announcements or reports. We're going to move on to old business. Staff referrals, none. Is there any update on the AKC, Joan, or anybody?
Go for it.
Nick?
We are expecting delivery.
We are. Good.
Imminent. Yes.
Like in the next 30 days?
I would say sometime within the next 30 to 60 days, yes.
Okay.
As far as I know, it's produced.
It has been assembled right now.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's just been, they have to get a driver to drive out here from New York. And
that's where it's coming from, is New
York?
Yeah.
Okay. That area. Maybe it comes from North Carolina, actually. I don't know which.
It did you?
It comes from the East Coast.
These kids are new to this. Could you tell them a little bit what's on this this trailer or vehicle?
Do you remember the dimensions?
Someone knows.
It's a 17-foot cargo trailer that's fully stocked with supplies that we would need to respond to a natural disaster. So with animal services, we do more than just all of the stuff we talked about this evening. When there's a fire or a flood or some sort of disaster, we are deployed to help provide an emergency animal shelter for people that are evacuated so that they can evacuate with their animals. And so what this is it's a cargo trailer that's fully stocked with dog food and leashes and collars and bowls and crates and everything you would need to stand up a mobile animal shelter. And it's going to help us provide care to animals in times of disaster.
How many of these do we have in the county at this point that you know?
These, how many trailers or how many of the ones from AKC?
Well, both.
But we have none from AKC yet.
Okay.
This will be the first one. But we have one cargo trailer that's at the Bakersfield shelter. The Central California Animal Disaster Team has their trailer that they're ready to respond in the Tehachapi area. And then we have a 31-foot trailer that's always ready to go at the Bakersfield shelter. So with this trailer, and hopefully the other one, will do for us is we'll be able to strategically locate another trailer in another part of the county so that if there's a fire or a flood, that the supplies are already there and we could just dispatch a team out there.
We had some of the equipment on display at the mega adoption event a couple months ago. I think it was in December, might have been November. But it, you know, you get up in there and look at it, inside of it and everything. So it was a well-done event, so the next time it comes around, you guys that haven't been involved, come to the event. It's free, and you can see all the partners involved in trying to help the lives of animals, you know, all different facets. So it was a well-done event, and of course we're trying to adopt as many animals as possible is the main thing, but there's a lot of things that go into it. Okay, so I guess there's nothing else on APC, so thank you for doing that, Nick. Under new business, none. And unfortunately, we're at the end of the meeting. Our next meeting is Wednesday, April 17th. It's always the third Wednesday of the month, just so you guys will know. You don't have to, you know, try to find out what day is it. Well, it's always the same day. It's always the third Wednesday of the month. It's always here. It's always at 6 o'clock. And you guys are all welcome to come back next month. Even if you don't get credit, you know, we need more people to get involved and to try to make a difference. So, okay, so I need a motion to adjourn.
Okay.
Okay, we're adjourned until next month. Thank you.